Good morning, brothers and sisters. We will be looking at the Lord's Prayer again this morning that we just recited from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. I'll read the prayer once again for us. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This morning we look at the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. Our Shorter Catechism explains this petition in this way. It says, In the second petition, which is Thy Kingdom Come, we pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed, that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it, and that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. It's interesting that the Catechism, when it answers the question, what the petition Thy Kingdom Come means, says there are three kingdoms in its explanation here. Three kingdoms. Well, what are we looking at here? First of all, we have Satan's kingdom. Satan's kingdom is the kingdom that Christ is opposing, that we oppose, and that is being destroyed. And we have Christ's kingdom, the kingdom of grace and the kingdom of glory. That's the kingdom of Christ in two stages. The kingdom of grace is that kingdom that we experience here now as Christ is progressively bringing all of his enemies under his footstool. And then the kingdom of glory is when he returns and puts it all to an end, and we, with him, are resurrected to be with him. So let's look through each of these. Satan's kingdom destroyed. First, we're praying, as we pray for God's kingdom to come, that Satan's kingdom would be destroyed. As Christ's territory grows, Satan's kingdom shrinks and diminishes increasingly. And we must not be deceived, even as we live in the Western world and we see a decline around us of Christianity, we must not be deceived into thinking that Satan's kingdom is somehow gaining traction, that Satan's kingdom is somehow being having a little bit of a comeback, and Christ had a little of an unexpected pushback. That is not the case. Christ is still bringing his enemies under his footstool. And what we see around us in this decline of the church in the Western world is by no means something that was unexpected to our Lord. It is part of his greater plan. And therefore, we must keep that in mind, that we will not forget that the promise of Scripture is that Satan will be crushed under our feet, as Romans 16 says. Shortly, it says, under our feet. So the kingdom of grace and the kingdom of glory. Well, here we're talking about Christ's kingdom in two stages. And we pray that Christ's kingdom of grace would be advanced, that people would be brought into that kingdom. And then we pray that Christ's kingdom would come in glory, that Christ would return. So how do we pray for these things? Well, when we pray for Satan's kingdom to be destroyed, we pray that his power would be diminished, that the spiritual darkness that we see around us would be destroyed. We must pray against this present darkness. And when it says that we should pray for the kingdom of grace to be advanced, this is a charter for us to care about missions, for us to pray for missions. The Lord's Prayer itself requires that we dedicate ourselves to praying for the increase of Christ's kingdom. Our prayer is the words of Psalm 67, where it says, That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. This is what we want to see. So if we are praying according to biblical priorities, we must pray for missions. We must pray for the increase of the kingdom of grace. If you go back to the period of World War II and you see how people lived here in America in light of the war, it's very striking how dedicated they were to what was going on. World War II was affecting the entire world to some degree or another, and certainly our own country here. And when people were living here and working, that war affected them in so many ways. It affected the economy, what people were actually doing and working for. Everything was put towards that war effort. But they were also very interested in what was going on, right? To hear the newspaper, to see what was going on, to read about the war efforts and whether they were successful. Can you imagine what it would have been like to sit there in 1945 and to open the newspaper and to see that the Third Reich had fallen? That would have been a big deal, wouldn't it? After 5 years or more of dealing with this war effort that everybody was involved in, that families had lost their children in, one could not avoid being part of that effort. And so you had to live with a wartime lifestyle. Well, I think we should be encouraged this morning to also live with a wartime lifestyle. That doesn't mean that we can't enjoy the good things that God gives us, but it does mean that our entire person is put into this effort, that the kingdom is the thing that we seek above all, and that we are so excited to hear about news of the kingdom of grace advancing and the kingdom of Satan being destroyed. That's what we look for in the news. We want to see the kingdom moving forward. So we want this wartime mentality, this wartime lifestyle. How would that affect us in terms of how we live? It means that we seek the kingdom first. We pray for the kingdom first. And the good news about seeking this kingdom is that it is a kingdom that will never perish. You can join the world in its empire building if you want. You can join the world in pursuing the American dream, but I assure you that it will perish. There will be no ultimate fruit in that. 1 John 2 says that the world is passing away with its lusts. Which kingdom do you want to labor for? The kingdom of men or the kingdom of grace and glory that will go forward? So we labor for the kingdom of God. We pray for the kingdom of God. And then the Catechism says that we also pray for the kingdom of glory to be hastened, that it would come faster. These two goals of seeking the kingdom of grace and seeking the kingdom of glory are not contradictory. We pray that if there are 2,000 years that we look forward to, that Christ is going to continue to reign and bring enemies under his footstool, we say, amen, I'm going to be seeking that kingdom as long as I live. But we also say if Christ could come tomorrow, it would be all the better. We would love for that to happen. I think it's very significant that the very final words of the New Testament are, come, Lord Jesus. There's a reason that the New Testament ends that way. It gives us that final note that this is what we're looking forward to. This is what we're praying for. Titus 2 says that it is the blessed hope that we have of the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, let us pray this morning that that kingdom of grace would be advanced, that we ourselves would be or pour ourselves into that kingdom work and seeking that kingdom, and that our Lord would return. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks to you that the kingdom of Satan is being destroyed. Give us eyes to see this advance of our Lord in all things, that we would not give prey to the deception that the devil is somehow winning. We pray that you would help us to dedicate ourselves to the work of Christ's kingdom, to praying for it, to seeking after it, to laboring for it. We pray that you'd forgive us for laboring for our own kingdom, for trying to pursue the American dream for ourselves, and trying to pursue our own enjoyment. We pray that you'd reorient our priorities in prayer and in life to be a kingdom-minded people. And we pray that you would come, Lord Jesus, soon. Now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.